Today I'm going to talk briefly about some things that plague us, that can plague our lives this morning. Particularly one thing that can really just rob us of our ability to become what God wants us to be in life. As you know, my heart is that all of us here as a church, that we would be who God called us to be, right? That we would live on a level that's higher than just going to heaven. But Jesus said He's called to give us abundant life. I think we should live, you know, abundantly. We should have a good life. We should smile. We should be able to accomplish things. We shouldn't be held in bondage by particular things that just mess us up. This morning we're going to look briefly at one of these things that mess us up. The title of the day is Four Fears I Must Conquer Every Day. Fear is a thing that can rob us from our ability to become what God wants us to be. So what are you afraid of? 144 times the Bible says, fear not. That's interesting, isn't it? We know every time angels appear to people, basically, they freak them out so much that the first words are, fear not. I come in the name of the Lord. Remember Mary when the angel appeared? Believe the same thing with Joseph. I think of Joshua as he's in the desert. They're getting ready to go into Jericho. Don't know what they're doing. And the angel of the Lord appears. I love that story as a side note. He says, well, whose side are you on? And do you remember the angel's response? Joshua says, are you for us or are you for our enemies? And the angel says, I'm for neither, but I'm for the Lord. How interesting is that? That God's side is different than ours at times, because ours can be, you know, polluted by worldly views, worldly visions, and God's on His side. Our job is to get on God's side and not Him on ours. What? Good message. Maybe I'll preach that sometime. What are you afraid of? Fear is the primary tactic of the enemy, the devil. All through the Bible we're told to fear not. We know that. Fear will immobilize you and stop you from reaching your goals and your full potential. Isn't that true? Fear will immobilize you and it can stop you from reaching your full potential. I know of some people who are so afraid of fear. Really, they don't ever leave their house. They're afraid that they're going to get sick if they go outside. You know, I guess this time of year it might be a good thing. But, they'll never leave. They're afraid to try anything new. Afraid to get a new job. Afraid to do a lot of things. You can conquer your fears by studying, speaking, and acting out on the Bible. I believe that. Every day that we need to conquer fear. Every day. And the thing we're going to look at first, the first fear we're going to look at conquering is the fear of failure. The fear of failure. Look at Psalm 89 if you have your Bible. We're going to turn there. The fear of failure. If you know how this works, like I said, with not wanting to get a new job, not, you know, afraid of anything new in life. Fear of failure. This lie tells you that God is not strong enough to help you succeed. This might be one of the greatest attacks of the enemy. God's not big enough. He's not going to help you. Maybe God don't want you to do this or that. You're just going to struggle. You're just going to fail. Fear of failure. Let's look at this. Psalm 89. I'm going to glean from this psalm. Look at verse 13. Psalm 89. Look at verse 13. It says this, powerful is your arm, strong is your hand. Your right hand is lifted high in glorious strength. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Unfailing love and truth walk before you as attendants. Happy are those who hear the joyful call to worship. Skip down to verse 17. You are their glorious strength. It pleases you to make us strong. It says, you are their glorious strength. It pleases you to make us strong. Look at verse 20. I have found my servant David. I have anointed him with my holy oil. I will steady him with my hand. With my powerful arm, I will make him strong. His enemies will not defeat him, nor will the wicked overpower him. I will beat down his adversaries before him and destroy those who hate him. My faithfulness and unfailing love will be with him, and by my authority, he will grow in power. What an awesome passage of Scripture. Here, like I said, we can have a fear of failure. And the first few verses, verse 13 and 17 I mentioned, speak of God's power. He has power in His arm. His right hand lifts us up with His strength. Even verse 17, it pleases God to make us strong. You are their glorious strength. It pleases You to make us strong. Think about that. God is pleased when we're strong. He wants us to be strong. Okay, so a fear of failure is something that we do not need to have. If God is with us, right, we can do whatever God wants us to do. We don't need to worry about failing because God will be there. He will lift us up. God is able to help us get through the tough times. In fact, it pleases Him to smile to help us. And interesting, when you look at David, what God said about David, I have found my servant David, I anointed him with oil, I steadied him with my hand, my powerful arm will make him strong. He says his enemies won't even defeat him. Isn't that interesting? David's enemies won't defeat him, the wicked won't overpower him. I will beat them down and destroy them. My thought here is, why don't we pray, God, just as You were powerful in David's life, do the same thing in my life. God, do the same thing in my life. Perhaps pray this passage of Scripture between Psalm 89, 20 through 24. God, just as You found David and anointed him, God, I want You to anoint me. Say, God, anoint me with Your holy oil, steady my hands, and make me strong. What a prayer. God, anoint me with Your Spirit. Do you understand? You can't say that prayer unless we have a surrendered heart, huh? I think overcoming fear really has to do with laying everything down before Jesus. Isn't it 2 Peter that says, cast all your cares before Him because He cares for us. That we lay them down at His throne. We can come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I give You my fear of failure. I lay it down. Work in me just like You did in David's life. Knock out my enemies, God. I'm going to trust You that whatever things can come up and mess me up, that You're going to take care of them. That You're going to cut my adversaries in half, God. You're going to destroy all those people or all those dominions, whatever, those things that hate me. My faithfulness and unfailing love will be with Him, and by my authority He will grow in power. Say, God, thank You that Your unfailing love and Your faithfulness will be with me. And I'm going to grow in power as I surrender to You. Bless me. Make me like David. Help me to get over this fear of failure. We need to be people who move past that. And I think if we can, we will grow in what God wants us to do. There's a lot of things that are scary, aren't there? It's interesting. The video clip talks about things as a child, but a lot of times those things kind of haunt us as we grow up, don't they? The same thing. And listen, God is good. We will not fail if we trust in Him. Now, does this mean if you just trust in God that you will make it at whatever job you put your hand towards? I don't know. Maybe that won't work. But listen, fear or failure doesn't necessarily mean a guarantee that you're going to have, you're going to reach the goal in your own mind. What it means is you don't fear to fail. It doesn't mean you couldn't possibly fail. You don't fear it. In other words, you trust God to catch you. That whatever you do, God, You're going to make me powerful. I believe I'm going to be good. I think we're going to get through this. But even if I don't, You're going to be there. And I know that Your will will be made manifest in my life. I know that there's nothing that I can go through, or you and I, that we can't get through together. Same thing with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? That God will rescue us from this fire. But even if He doesn't, we're still not going to serve Your God because we know our God is good. Fear of failure. Let's lay down that fear. What's the worst that can happen? And that probably won't happen. Think of that. Whatever situation, what's the worst thing that can happen? And that thing probably won't happen. It's ultimate worst. I went door to door with my wife and I had to do this for school and things, so I got over the door-to-door stuff. Plus, as the pastor of church, I have to go door-to-door. I have to. I hate dogs. Dogs scare me to death. I love dogs, I guess because I got chased by a couple, a couple big Rottweilers and messed me up. And anyway, I go to knock on doors. I get freaked out. Bobby went with me a couple times. Like, oh my gosh, that dog is huge, Bobby. You go get this house. But we would go and listen, going door to door and And inviting people to church can be scary, can't it? You don't know the people. But then you think, what's the worst that can happen? Take the dog out, because that's a freak thing if the dog eats you. That could happen. We'll separate that. What's the worst that can happen with a fear of failure? You'll knock and you say, "Hi, I'm from the church down the street. I just wanted to let you know we're having services coming up and give you a free gift. Is there anything I could pray with you with?" The worst thing that can happen is, "You guys are weird." People say, "You're weird." Shut the door. Well, that's not going to kill you, right? No, it's not. That's the worst thing that can happen. So you think, okay, God, we're going to go through this. Well, my wife and I, before the seminar that we did, that marriage seminar here, that you guys came to for the first time, before the seminar, we hit 20-some houses in this area on that cold day in about 45 minutes. Went door to door. We met a lot of nice people. No one was offended by any means. Met quite a few people who were just excited to see us. One lady said, "I've been trying to find your church. Somehow the address was missing on my mailing, and I'm so glad you stopped." Now, she hasn't come here yet, but she was excited about our church, and God is drawing on her heart, you know? But anyway, if we allowed a fear of failure and rejection to come into our life, we would never minister to people. We wouldn't reach out and touch them, right? We wouldn't be able to plant the seed. I wouldn't be what God wants me to be for my own life. Our church would never become what God wants it to be, right? We would never reach out and be a faithful witness. We need to not fear failure so much. Again, failure in regards to, remember I spoke of going on a plane with our missions trip a couple years ago. That was a big step in my life of trusting God. I thought, if this plane goes down, Bob was there. He dropped us off the airport. He thought there was no way I'm getting on a plane. But we trusted God, and I thought, you know, I'm not going to be somebody who says one thing and does another. We're going to trust God. If the plane goes down, I go to heaven. You know? And it didn't go down, and I had a fantastic time of my life ministering. I was able to preach in Mexico City, which is cool, with a translator, and share the gospel of Christ in that city there. It's fantastic. Listen, don't allow fear of failure to keep you from what God wants you to be. What is it in your life? I don't know. Fear of whatever. I don't know what things you fear failing in. I don't know. Perhaps being a parent. Perhaps being a good spouse. It could be a lot of things. Jobs. Letting people down. It could be a lot of things. School, perhaps going to college or whatever. Don't allow those things to keep you from being what God wants you to be. The next thing. Fear of the future. You can write this down. Fear of the future. This lie tells people that God is unable to see what lies ahead of you. And God can't direct you in your steps. That God can't see what's going on. He can't direct you. It's another lie from the enemy. Look at Psalm 37, and we're going to briefly look at these verses. Psalm 37, starting at verse 23. Again, I like us to turn there because I want to give you the opportunity to highlight that in your Bible. Put a star next to it. If this verse speaks to you, try and memorize this and hide it in your heart. These are fears that we need to conquer every day. Every day the devil will want to tell us you're going to mess up, you're going to fail, there's nothing you can do, give up. And every day we need to say, nope, God is bigger than me. If I fail, I'm going to just fall into Jesus' arms. He's going to catch me and stand me right back up. There's no fear in that. Fear of the future. We don't need to be afraid of the future. Psalm 37, verse 23 says this: "The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives." Isn't that good to know? Who would be the godly today? What does that mean? The Lord directs the steps of the godly. Could somebody give me a different word for godly? John? Very good. Someone who believes and trusting in God and trusts in Jesus Christ to forgive them of their sins, and they've given their life to Christ. We know that all of our self-imposed godliness is like dirty rags to God, don't we? That if we try to be good really hard, the Bible says it's like dirty rags to God. That God looks down from His throne and says, "What is this? I'm not pleased with that at all." Our own self-righteousness is nothing. We only become godly when we give up everything and we come to Jesus and say, "Jesus, wash me in the blood of Christ. Forgive me of all of my sins. And then when God looks at us, we're healed and we're whole, just as if we've never sinned. He says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Every detail of those who love Him, God delights in. Let's move on. Though they stumble, they will never fall. For the Lord holds them by the hand. Once I was young, and now I am old. Yet I have never seen the godly abandoned or their children begging for bread. Wow, what a good passage. God delights in all of our all of our details, the smallest portions of our lives, the most intimate, small thing God cares about. Though we stumble, we won't fall. He holds us by our hand. And then the author goes on to say, you know, in my whole life, I'm an old guy now. I used to be young, but boy, the years have gone by. That's what the author says. Now I'm old, but I've never seen the godly abandoned or their children begging for bread. So you know what? God has never left us. God has never left us. This author says, I'm an old guy now, but I've never seen those who put their trust in God go without. I've never seen them go without. This testimony was given to me by my grandpa as well on my dad's side. He was a preacher forever, an evangelist. Got saved, used to do a lot of tent ministries when that was the big thing, I guess, in the 50s, 60s, 70s, even 80s, where they would go ask permission, follow the Lord. The Lord would say, come here and preach. They'd set up a big tent on the side of the road, and people would drive down the road and say, what's going on? And they would stop and come in and give their heart to the Lord. He was using a powerful ministry. People were healed and set free. And he told me this. He said, you know, we don't have a lot, but we've never gone without. You know, a conversation I had probably 6-7 years ago when I was getting ready to go to Valley Forge Christian College. And he was just sharing a little bit of his life with me and his calling, which encouraged me as a young person moving on to Bible school. He says, I've never seen God forsake us. He never has forsaken us. He would tell me stories of God directing them to go somewhere and preach, and he didn't have any money for the toll. And he said, God, we trust you. And on the way, he'd stop at a rest station, and somebody would walk over and say, the Lord wants me to give you this. I don't know why. I don't know who you are. God bless you. And it was everything he needed. Those kind of things happen in their life. They have a humble home. They own it, but it's a small home that they live in. But, you know, they love the fact that they spent their life given to God. They didn't have to have a fear of the future. God took care of their every need. God took care of more than they could ask for. And I think this is true. God cares about our details. We don't need to fear the future. The small things you care about, God cares about them and even more things. Even if we stumble, He's going to hold us by our hand. When I walk my daughter, sometimes we'll go places and she'll trip. And what happens when she trips? And I got her by the hand. Not much, right? She just goes limp and I hold her and she just gets right back on her feet. You know, it's no big deal. Oh, what an image of walking with Jesus. As we go into the future, we're walking along. Hi, God, I love you. We fall down. God just catches us and we get our feet and we just keep walking. We don't need to fear the future. God will provide all of our needs. Let's look at the next thing. Every day, we need to say, I will not fear the future. Fear of the past. Fear of the past. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You can turn there. One verse we're going to look at for this. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This is a fantastic verse to memorize, even with sharing your faith with others. I'd put this one on your list. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Fear of the past, this haunting deception, this fear of the past says that because of where we have come from, God is unable to make everything good today. Because of where we've come from, because of our past, perhaps our past families, that God can't show up and make things come out right today. I don't know the story of you this morning, if you had a great childhood or not. But as adults, we are not held to repeat the mistakes of our parents, are we? Of things with our childhood. I know of many who suffered through abuse as children. That's a horrendous thing. But listen, God is able to work and move, and we don't need to repeat those things. A lot of times domestic violence is repeated generation after generation. I've seen that in another family where a child grew up getting hit by his dad and watching his dad hit his mom. And then as an adult, he's through this thing where he's been married a couple of times because he'll go through the same steps of violence. And it'll get them in trouble and things split up. Listen, we don't have to be controlled by those things. And here's why. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become what? A new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. See, we don't have to worry about the past, do we? We don't have to have a fear of the past, even if it's our own family past. Listen, even if it's our past, things that we've chosen to do. When we've come to Christ, we're a new person. Pardon me. We're a new person. Isn't that good to know? That we're new. We're new. Think about that. We're new. Not just that God looks at us anew, but there's a thing that's really new within us. And if we come to God and we say, God, make me new. He does that, doesn't He? He works. And I think we are new, but sometimes, well, I know we're new, but what I'm trying to say is sometimes we can fall back into old habits that we've had or maybe old fears of, you know, I used to have such anger and I hope I don't become a person of anger anymore. Perhaps somebody will cut you off with the famous road rage thing and you feel like I'm just the same old person. You say, God, help me to live out the truth that I'm new, you know. Forgive me and help me. And God does that. But listen, you are a new person. You don't need to fear the past. You don't need to fear past mistakes. God has worked in your life. Don't let that control you. Don't let that control you. I think a lot of times with even looking at the future or looking at failure, a lot of times this fear is basically the root of the others, aren't they? A lot of times. We'll look towards the future. Well, I failed in the past. You know, I'm afraid because I've messed up so many times. Listen, we're a new person because we belong to Christ. We don't need to fear the past anymore. The last thing we're going to look at is fear of comparison. Fear of comparison. We're going to look at Acts, a couple of verses in Acts 10 for that. Fear. Fear of comparison. This lie tells us that God loves some people more than others. That God holds other people in a little bit better standing than perhaps you. Fear of comparison. That we'll look and say, but so-and-so has this and I got that. You know? So-and-so is so good. Look, they love God. Look at their life. And, you know, I can't do this. Look at all the talents over here. Right? Fear of comparison. Look at Acts 10, verse 34. You know this scripture. I'm sure we've heard this, but let's look at it again. Peter replies in the midst of speaking, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. In every nation, He accepts those who fear Him and do what is right. This is the message of good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. Again, he says, God doesn't show any favoritism. He accepts those who fear Him, right, and do what is right. But God doesn't show favoritism. What gets you on a better... What can you do to have God be more pleased with you? I guess that's a good way to say it. What can you do as a Christian to have God be more pleased with you? What's that? I'm sorry. Yeah, do the best you can. Right in this verse we saw those who fear Him and do what's right. That's it. If we come to God and we say, God, I fear You, meaning I respect You. I hold You in reverence. And when You say something, I listen. I treat Your word like it's important in my life. I don't just say it, but I really reverence it. You know, that really comes with getting into God's word, doesn't it? If we really believe it's God's word and really believe it changes us, we really need to get into it. We really believe prayer. We really need to pray, right? If we really believe we're talking to God and He's really working in our lives. Listen, if we fear Him and respect Him and do what's right, He accepts us. Point blank, that's it. That's it. He accepts us. He doesn't show any favoritism. There's peace through Christ Jesus. And again, I'm not talking about getting saved. We know we trust Christ. But what I'm talking about is sometimes even as Christians, we can feel like other people are better than us. God loves them more. Why is God going to bless me? Because I'm not this person over here. I'm not Exhibit A in the Christian world. I'm Exhibit Z. Right? We don't need to fear that comparison. We come to God. We love Him. We respect Him. We follow Him. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do to get you in a different spot. Don't have a fear of being compared to other people. Don't have a fear of that. That you don't do whatever. God loves you so much. Whether you're a worship leader, it doesn't matter. Whether you're a missionary, it doesn't matter, right? It really doesn't matter. Pastor, you're a witness in your job. God just wants to work in your life. Whatever you do, God wants to work. You don't need to compare yourself. So don't feel any less than anybody else. If you're a child of God, you are a child of the King of the universe. We don't need to feel inferior to anybody, do we? Listen, you're a child of the King. Do not allow yourself to feel less than anybody else. You don't need to bow to other Christians, other people, right? We don't bow to earthly kings. We bow to the King of the universe. Don't worry about comparisons. Don't get caught in that trap. Don't think God loves other people more. God's not going to provide for you. That's not true. God's going to provide for you. If you fear Him and do what's right, He doesn't hold anybody over top of you. The neat thing is that I love about the Lord. See, and we know this. We're talking about a relationship with Christ. We're not talking about religion. Okay? This isn't like religion time. It's a relationship with Jesus. And what I mean by that is, since God doesn't hold anybody else higher than you, He can speak to you just as good as He can anybody else. Isn't that the good news of Christ? That God wants to speak to you just like anybody else. Open up the Word of God to you just like anybody else. You don't have to go anywhere. You know? Open up the Word and God wants to speak in your life. He wants to whisper to you. He wants to touch you. He wants to fill you with His presence. That as you sit home and pray, He wants to make you smile because He shadows Himself over top of you. He wants to provide for every intimate detail. He wants to hear you as you just talk to Him in the middle of your day and say, Lord, I don't even want anything. I just want to say hi. I just want to tell You that I love You and I'm appreciative of all that You've done for me. You know? That's it. And we can have this relationship with Christ because God doesn't set us on different levels. We don't need to fear comparison. Again, four fears in summary. Don't feel failure. Don't fear the future. Don't fear the past. Don't fear being compared to anybody. We don't need to fear those things. In fact, the title of the message is Four Fears I Must Conquer Every Day. If you wrote that down, why don't you change the word must to Four Fears I Will Conquer Every Day. I will. In Christ's name, I will. And when we look at failure, what is failure? If I trip, Jesus has my hand. We're fine. We're going to be okay. I'm not going to fear it. The future, God holds the future. I don't know what the future holds. but I know who holds the future, right? Don't fear the past. Whatever happened, happened. It's covered by the blood of Christ. I'm a new creation. I'm a new person. Don't fear comparison. God loves you and wants to work in your life just like anybody else. Don't look at other people and say, I can't be that. I'm not as holy as them. I'm not as good as them. God wants us to come and just say, God, I want to honor you and do what's right and fear and respect you. Give him a heart, and you're just as good as anybody else could ever be. That's what he asks for. God is good. Don't be trapped in fear. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for your word today, God. Lord, I thank you, God, that you're bigger than anything we could ever go through. Your provision is way bigger than our fear. Your presence, God, is more than all we need. Thank you for taking care of everything, Lord. I pray. You're our rock. You're our Redeemer, God. You're the reason we can sing. We love you. We love you, God. Be praised. May we be people who live for you passionately. Change us, God. Lord, I pray that as we go forward as a church, God, that you would help us to reach out to our community, Lord. Easter is coming up soon, Jesus. Help us to share the truth of the resurrected Savior. Hallelujah. Be praised, God. In Jesus' name, amen.